Back down. DJ Shoots, thanks so much. Nice to have some vinyl in the house. Hope you all are enjoying yourselves this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Quite a difference from yesterday when we were smoked out. The fog was, it was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Saw some interesting pictures of it online, and I experienced a bit of it as I was driving into the sunset, and it was just like I was cruising through the blue hills back in the old-timey days, the Blue Ridge Mountain days of yore. But no, here we are on the air, getting out of the box. So you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, and I am Laura Christine. This Out of the Box program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the good folks at, oh, I think it's Kilauea Mini Golf. Well, maybe not. I'm looking at the wrong list. Yes, Kalaheo Chiropractic. And Ching Yung Village. And KKCR Listens. Well, we'll do this because I can. Uh-oh. Ah, that happens. Well, hey, how about this? We'll take a brief musical interlude, and I'll get the right list of underwriters for us. But just let you know that 90.9 FM on the Hanalei dial, 91.9 island-wide, 92.7 FM in the Molawa'a Anahola area, 104.7 on the gathering place of Oahu, and 95.1 on the cable dial. We will be right back very shortly, because it goes like that. We'll be talking about food, so I thought a little Neil Young worked its way in.
Promise of a man. Dream up, let me fill
Yes. Neil Young, Harvest. Thank you so much. I got Megan Fox in the booth. We'll get her to join us on air. We're going to be talking about growing farmers on Kauai. And also we'll have Eric Hansen from Go Farm Hawaii. He is at Kauai Community College, I think, right now, actually, going to be hosting a class this evening. And he will be joining us very shortly as well. And most recently, I think, Joseph Dunsmore, who will be coming back from Waipaw. He was there today on Poi Day. And we'll talk story with Joseph. But before we even do that, I am going to make sure that the good folks at Kalaheo Chiropractic and Ching Yung Village and at Bikram Yoga know that we love you guys, and thank you for our support. No, thank you for your support of our community radio station. So just know that this Out of the Box program is made possible by these good folks.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Ching Yung Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Ching Yung, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Bikram Yoga Kauai, located in Kapa'a, provides authentic Bikram Yoga. A 90-minute beginner series is practiced in a heated studio with newly remodeled hot showers and changing rooms. All levels welcome. Improves physical health and overall well-being. Boutique open and classes available 7 days a week. KauaiBikramYoga.com or 823-9642.
Yes, and mahalo nui loa, you guys, for supporting Kauai Community Radio. It's our underwriters and our listeners and our members that really help us stay on the air and do the things that we can do, whether it's good music like DJ Shoots and Els Bells missed you today. She's out on sabbatical. And Brother Tim. Brother Tim, wherever you stay, we hope you be doing just fine and look forward to having you in the booth as well. We've got 2 hours or about an hour and 50 minutes, if you're counting, of community forum, talk story on the radio, and you'll be followed at 6 o'clock by the evolutionary radio of DJ Dove. Dove will be leading the evolution on from there. Later on, 8 o'clock, Slim and the Mystery Train rolls in right on time with a little Loco Moco to cap off the Thursday night. So keep it locked right in here on Kauai Community Radio. I have Megan Fox in the booth. She is on mic one, speaking to the sock, if you will. How's it sound?
Hello.
Oh, wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you for joining me and a little bit an ongoing conversation that you and I have been having, as well as others. So wanted to bring you into the conversation and know that this conversation about growing future farmers is an ongoing one. We'll be needing to talk about the ins and the outs and getting on board with some programs, as well as getting creative and creating new programs that are going to help us kind of, do some plowing in the fields of opportunity. If I can. Megan, would you mind just giving a little background bio on yourself, your work at Malama Kauai? How did you find yourself there, and what do you do for the good folks at Malama Kauai?
Sure. Actually, fairly new to the island, moved here about three and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Knew I really wanted to get involved in the community, and my background had mostly been in workforce development and career advising and educational programs. So I started actually volunteering. Pretty much, I think I volunteered at just about at least 60% of the nonprofits on the island to kind of see who I would get a feel for, and decided there was really a program I wanted to start because I didn't see a lot of opportunities for kind of social entrepreneurship, economic development, where kids learned a little bit more about entrepreneurship in a green way and how they can kind of create a good career for themselves that's good for the island, too. So, kept asking around who would be a fiscal sponsor for a green careers program. And after I heard Keone's name about four times, I decided I got to call this guy Keone and launch the program with him. He was super down and it went really well, and then I've just stayed on since then.
And Keone Kealoha is the executive director of Malama Kauai.
Right.
And what does Malama Kauai do? What is their job?
So originally it just started as an organization very broadly focused on advocating and action around sustainability across the island. I think in the last couple of years, we've really honed in on agriculture and food production and consumption as the low-hanging fruit, because we have a very easily existing solution to that problem. And there are organizations that kind of were around, like Apollo's doing energy and Zero Waste is doing waste. And so different groups were kind of addressing some of the other sustainability issues. So we decided to focus on agriculture and do lots of different programs, have a community garden, a community farm, offer internships and workshops and different events, kind of do classes and teach people how to grow. And
nice. Yeah. Now let's step back into your green careers and the program that got you into Malama Kauai. What happened? What did that do?
You know, it was really great. It got a lot of young adults reconnected to different opportunities to learn how to start a business and create a business plan. And we had them pitch it Shark Tank style in front of a bunch of
business-minded folks.
Yeah, definitely. It was really great. And we're going to be doing it again this summer. So it's something that we're going to probably at least do one more time.
Cool.
And then, just really kind of fell in love with working with kids and young adults and youth and people in the community to, they're our future. So, you know, I think a lot of our newer programs are really focused on, you know, we've been doing the school garden network since 2010. So we've had, you know, 5-6 years now. Our kids are ready for the next step.
So tell me a little bit about the school garden program. What is that for folks that might have just moved here or have not been paying too much attention? What is a school garden?
So the school garden network, we have 3 full-time staff in that program, one for each complex area across the island, and they support the schools in their district with volunteer recruitment, technical assistance,
fundraising. So the school complexes would be like the Kapaa school complex.
Right, Kauai and then Waimea. So each school complex has their own coordinator, and they're through the AmeriCorps Vista program.
Okay.
So they're doing really great. And they also help with food programs, wellness programs, sustainability initiatives across the campus. And we've installed dozens and dozens of school gardens across the island. And because of doing so many, you kind of figure out what works and what doesn't. So
right.
We help kind of relay that information to people who have the new idea to start a school garden and try and keep them more sustainable and surviving.
Yeah, well, I mean, it comes out. It's always, you know, like any endeavor in the garden, you have to kind of anticipate an end as well as prepare for a new beginning. And each May and each August, we get students moving on and students starting up. Some of them are returning students and some are new students, but eventually those kindergartners become seniors and the graduating class of 2016, May will be here soon enough for those folks.
Yeah, and you can't get good at ag if you don't kill a few things along the way.
It's true. There is collateral damage. Yeah. The learning curve can be steep. That's for sure. And so with the School Garden Network, what are some of the things that you're learning, and what are some of the things that you would like to see maybe if we had a small little change, we could see some bigger results?
Oh, good question. I mean, you know, there's a lot of challenges. Our teachers and staff at the schools are so passionate, but they also have so much on their plates. So it really does take the community supporting that school, the parents, the nearby businesses, and really building a strong, good group to support that agriculture program at the school. We've seen some of the schools really take that on and do really well. One example right now is we're working on Kaloa Elementary's school garden, and they've gotten a ton of support from Hyatt and also from Home Depot. And a lot of the parents and staff are stepping in. So we feel really confident it's going to be a successful one that's going to have some longevity, too.
Nice. Well, I mean, I guess that's one of the things that's involved. It takes a village.
It does.
You know, and so parents are involved. You guys kind of build them into the plan. And then, if you will, outside sponsorship. So having some corporate sponsorship sometimes helps with the financial resources that are needed for whether it's, you know, compost medium, but some kind of, you know, potting medium, seeds.
Yeah, we've had so much support. I mean, Regenerations with seeds, K&L and so many different organizations. Really, pretty much every nursery across the island has supported us, every composting facility, Heart and Soul, you name it.
Willing to donate, to contribute to the betterment of their own community. And that's a great thing.
It is. It is. And that's the best part about that program is just connecting people who want to help our kids kind of all together. It's great.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of part of our conversation, and I was hoping that we might have Margaret Schlosch. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it. I spent Monday evening with her, talking with her about her experience. She's a farmer. I think she called herself a certified natural farmer, which is a little bit different than your certified organic farmer. Maybe less hoops to jump through, I'm not quite sure. But she was invited here to speak in front of a community at KCC, Kauai Community College, on Monday, and there was a screening of the film Farmland, and Farmland featured Margaret. She was one of the few females, actually one of the few featured female farmers, if not the only female farmer. There was a wife of a rancher and the mother of a rancher, all of that good stuff as well. But Margaret's one-woman farm was featured in that. I am going to take this phone call really quickly because, well, here we go, Megan. I'm going to ask you.
Sure.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Monday, you weren't there at KCC. You were watching something totally different called Chasing Extinction.
Yeah, Racing Extinction.
What was that about?
So that was a movie that we co-sponsored with Apollo Kauai that talked mostly about climate change, a little bit about different conservation efforts, impacts of different things people are doing, and things that we can do to prevent wildlife trade, extinction, and Kauai, you know, having this many endangered species was definitely a hot topic on the island. So it was good to kind of get involved in the broader global conversation about that.
Well, this is what, you know, the things are local and the things are global. Mm-hmm. We're all interrelated and interconnected. It was one of those afternoons where there was lots of stuff going on. I saw Felicia at the Charter Review Commission meeting and just wanted to see the opening, if you will, the opening act and check in. But I wanted to go to the college and see that movie, Farmland. I did get a chance to see it previously, but to have an opportunity to talk with Margaret was, I guess, alluring to me, so I wanted to find that out. We are joined on the phone with brother Eric. Eric, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah. Can you hear me, guys?
We can.
Yep.
We can. And we know you have a class starting at 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, we have a great class lined up this evening. If anyone wants to come by and just check out what's going on with the Go Farm program, we invite the community to come in. We're going to have a special guest speaker, Earl Kashigawi from Isaki's Produce, is going to come talk story about, you know, some of the various nuances of the markets here on Kauai and throughout Hawaii at large, and what it's like to kind of do stuff on an export scale. So if anyone's interested in learning more about the marketing world of agriculture, I invite you guys to come down.
And so, Eric, tell us a little bit about your program, Go Farm Hawaii. What is it? And I know you've been on the air, but for some listeners that haven't had the chance to hear you yet, what is Go Farm and what are you guys trying to do?
Well, we're very much in line with some of the similar missions that Megan and the Malama Kauai guys have. Go Farm Hawaii is a statewide initiative to promote more farmers. And so what we provide is a robust set of skills that can be acquired through our work experience through the Go Farm program. So we provide knowledge and that of the science and the business of agriculture. So we do everything from learning about soil fertility management, pest management, soil fertilization, irrigation needs, marketing plans, sales, demographics, post-harvest cleanups, cover cropping, tropical fruit and nut production, mycelium production or making mushrooms, even a little bit of beekeeping. So we kind of just try to give people a great exposure to all the different nuances of agriculture. And we do this in a couple different phases. We start with working with various farmers around the island that do different types of agriculture. So we spend a day with veteran farmers and get everyone exposed to, you know, all the different kinds of styles of farming, because, you know, there's not just, you know, orchard production, and it's not just shrimp farm production. There's all kinds of stuff and all kinds of possibilities. So we get to work with the different farmers, and they get to share their mana'o about, hey, you know, this is how we do stuff. And, you know, you really kind of get to know, oh, maybe this is the kind of style of farming that I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day a week we have a talk story lecture session. I wouldn't really call it a classroom in a traditional sense, because that's probably the last thing I'd like people to think about. It's more of a hands-on knowledge lowdown, or download, I'm sorry. And so we have various guest speakers come in who are experts in different agricultural topics, or we'll have myself, who I wouldn't say I'm an expert of sorts, but I guess I could say I'm an expert of sorts, at least in terms of what not to do. So we talk about different topics in agriculture, from both the business and the science side. And then Saturdays we have our big outdoor living learning lab experience. And so each student is given a 1,000-square-foot farm plot where they get to take the knowledge from what they're learning inside the talk story lecture classroom setting and apply that to the field. So students not only learn how to grow various crops, they also learn how to make a business plan and crop plans. And then so over a four-month period of growing, you get a concept of what it's like to actually go into the farming field. So the knowledge that you take over about a six-month period, you could apply to either going very large scale for acres and acres of production. You can do something very small scale, you know, an acre or two, or you could even apply that to just farming in your own backyard and providing food for you and your ohana.
And Eric, I think you're doing a pretty good job, because I've seen your students going into my husband's restaurant where he works and hustling and selling that produce. I've seen the farm, and that little farm space is more productive than I've ever seen. It's looking great.
Yeah, I mean, right now we have a couple of our students live in the field right now that are just working at some carrots that are like, whoo, so ono. And then we got some just mind-boggling a wonbok cabbage going on in the field, and there's just this whole beautiful carpet of pumpkin going on. And, we're really excited. We're going to be pulling kalo this weekend. So anyone who wants to come down and grab a little bit of kalo for their yard, we're more than welcome for people to come down. We have 14 varieties that were graciously donated by Nimuhuli Gardens up on the North Shore in Ha'ena.
Oh, thanks for that.
That we work with. So if any of you would like to come by this Saturday, we will be having a little kalo pulling. And we're looking forward to doing some more growth and expansion this year, I can ramble on forever, but I kind of feel like I don't know if I need to just talk too much.
Hey, it depends on how much coffee you drink. But let me ask you this, for folks that are interested, and just for people who are just joining us, I've got Megan Fox from Malamakwai in the booth and Eric Hansen from Go Farm Hawaii on the phone. And Eric made an invitation to Saturday to his class. It's a hands-on experiential class, and they're going to be doing some kalo harvesting. So tonight you're going to be hosting Earl from Isaki's Produce. For folks who might not know, where is your class? If people wanted to go, they're driving, stuck in traffic, and they're like, pull over. Where would they find you?
At the farm, bro. So you go down to the Ho'o'ulu Wehi Sustainability Center, which would be, you kind of come in through the main entrance of KCC, go past the Performing Arts Center, you'll see the lo'i on your left, the kalo patch, on your left, And that will have a, and then right past the Lo'i, you'll see a left-hand turn, which by that turn there's a sign that says Punalaleo Hawaiian Charter School. So you'll turn on that road, you make a left, and then you'll kind of just follow the road as it turns into a dirt road, and you're heading back towards the highway, and you'll go through like a yellow gate kind of thing, and you'll see a bunch of cars parked out there, and the door will be open. It's it will say sustainability classroom 105 right there on the dirt road. It's the first building which the road becomes the dirt.
There we go. And same place, same location on Saturday for the Kahlo Fest?
Same place, same time, all that kind.
Nice. And is Margaret, Farmer Margaret from Pennsylvania, going to join you this evening?
We are anticipating, I think, that she's going to come in and maybe get the little lowdown from Uncle Earl, and hopefully, you know, she can share a little bit of her monologue, you know, time allows and all that. But I believe she is coming. You know, we just want to keep the discussion going about farming and young farmers and just any, just anyone who's an aspiring farmer, just people that love farming. So the more the dialogue we have as a community, the better we are as people, because we all just need to talk. And if we all talk, we'll understand more and we'll become better farmers because we'll share more ideas.
There we go. Well, I think you were there at Monday's screening of Farmland. What did you think of that film?
It was it was well shot.
Beautiful cinematography.
Oh man, I gotta say, like, there's nothing more just like, you know, makes me feel all good, but like a really nice, you know, field of growing stuff and a brand new tractor is kind of impressive. It's all like, baby, I like it.
That kind of turns you on when you have new equipment on the farm.
I will admit that I am somewhat of a farm dork in that way, or a farm enthusiast, not a dork now.
There's a difference.
You're calling a fine line sometimes, but that's okay, no shame.
There you go. Well,
it was interesting to see, a bunch of younger farmers. As someone who's a farmer here in the middle of the Pacific, I don't really get to see a lot of what's going on the continent. As you know, I just don't really get out that much. I kind of just here.
I hear that's changing, though.
Sort of, yeah, maybe for a moment. It was good to, you know, kind of see where other people are at in farming and their farming styles.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have a diversity of farmers that, you know, range from large scale farming in the Midwest to small scale diversified farming, on the East Coast. And there's, you know, organic farmers, in California. So it was interesting to see the diversity of things.
That was your first time seeing that film?
Right. That was definitely the first time I saw the film. It was interesting. They talked a lot about, for a moment, had talked about, you know, stuff like marketing and what it's really like to do that. And then they brought up issues about, you know, genetically modified foods, which, you know, was very interesting to hear about. And you know, I think at least the intent of the movie was to try to inspire more farmers. You know, it's always good to promote the farmer. But, you know, there's always more farming or types of farming that could always be shown. And so, you know, you can only show so much in a movie, I guess, before people get tired. But there's always more and more styles to learn. That's what I'm learning in life, is that, you know, I think I got it down. I realized there's like 10,000 other ways to farm, yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Almost as many farmers as there are folks willing to eat.
Right.
And I remember Farmer Jerry Ornelas said that at one time, you know, that if you eat food, then you're a stakeholder for the food system and the whole food production part. And I think the whole thing I appreciated about that movie, besides the, you know, wonderful cinematography and some of the kind of heartfelt, passionate reasons why people are still farming, because it's not a career or one that's going to make most farmers rich, and I think everybody in that movie, you know, talked about financial struggles, but it did show kind of a wealth of different attitudes
yes.
towards farming and towards caring for the land and caring for each other and future generations.
Different kind of rich.
yes, a different kind of rich. Thank you, Megan. And that's an important thing. I guess I was. You know, and other people pointed it out as well in regards to it was an interesting blend, if you will, at the college of folks attending that we had a, well, I guess she's not an organic farmer, certified organic, but she was a certified natural farmer. Do I get that right, Eric?
Certified natural farmer, if it is right. She definitely made a big distinction of not being certified organic by the USDA.
Yeah, and so she brought that up in regards to, you know, that's a USDA delineation, that's a label that they kind of own, and for you to call yourself, you've got to do a number of things, and so she hasn't done that quite yet. I'm not sure if she was planning to become an organic farmer when she's done enough of the hoop jumping to get there, but she was also, you know, the only farmer there that wasn't kind of doing large-scale industrial-style ag. When I say large-scale industrial ag, I mean like you said, they had the sexy, nice combine tractors and, you know, hundreds of acres to till and farm, and had a couple of crews doing the work. She seemed like she had a couple of different tractors, but they were all older than she was, and she's
talking about Margaret now.
Yes, talking about Margaret now, and I guess the dichotomy of here it was an organic farmer being presented or a natural farmer being featured by the college at an event that was sponsored by BASF, which is one of the, if you will, five chemical companies on island, or four chemical companies on island that are engaged in a lawsuit against the county and not wanting to have the county get involved in regulating pesticides. So it was kind of for some folks, a little head scratching, like, wow, that's interesting. And what does that mean for the future of farming on Kauai? Do we read into that much or any at all? But it certainly wasn't something that I think went unnoticed by folks who were kind of wondering about these things. So the movie is available on Netflix, I believe. I saw it when the first time came around, was at the Big House in the Performing Arts Center, and Monday night's presentation of it was a much smaller screening of it. It was in the cafeteria. And Joseph Dunsmore, you were there. Joseph has joined us here in the booth. I'll get your mic up there, too. What did you think of the film, sir?
Well, it was very nice. I liked all the pictures. I loved that tractor and combine, like all the rest of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was...
Can you turn up the volume on Joe?
There we go. Right there for you, Eric.
All right. And I thought it was their way of showing that there's small growers, and then there's the big growers. Mm-hmm. And the big growers use our products and have to use pesticides and things like that, and the small growers can get away with being organic or natural. And I don't know really what they're – I mean, they have some sort of marketing, because nobody does anything like that out of just pure wanting to share information. So to me, it was just to kind of like make them look not so bad and more like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think I spoke with one of the organizers, you know, and she was thankful that BASF was willing to bring Margaret out and share that information. Back to the point of trying to grow future farmers, how do we do that? What is the best way for us to bring up that new generation? How do we rear our young people to embrace hard work on the farm, to want to get down and dirty, engage in a profession that's not by any stretch a lucrative one at that, but there's other ways, like you said, Megan, that you kind of reap what you sow and get to enjoy the benefits of it. Eric, I know that you've got a class coming on, so maybe you might want to tackle that one first, and then I'll let Megan and Joseph chime in, and whenever you got to get off, I'll let you go.
It was definitely a little bit interesting to have the political dynamics of what Joseph had kind of talked about go on. And, I try not to read into anything too much, but there is definitely interesting things that, in the movie, one of the, I don't know if it was all of them, but one of the farmers was saying, it's not really an issue with the GMOs, and given our current history that's just happened the last, or given the current news that's kind of happened the last week or so, I think there was, 10 or 12 workers from the west side that were sent to the hospital?
Yeah, that's correct.
And I think, I've been so busy in the field farming myself that I haven't been able to catch up on the news, so how am I with my coconut wireless, not probably proper information, but I believe there was two or three people that were put in an intensive care unit after some of the, I don't know if it was spraying or it had something to do with some of the field work that was going on there. And so it was
so I guess what happened was there was a field crew that had inadvertently returned to a plot that had been sprayed previously, and whether it was by accident and they went into the wrong plot, or that it was some error in the timing, but they went into an area that wasn't safe to enter, and some of them were removed. Some volunteered to go, and I think everyone was released, but not everybody was released at the same time. Some did have to spend the night in. I think you're right. There were a couple that were spending time in ICU, but I haven't heard any more, nor have I done any really deep investigation in this. I know that the state, I just saw a headline, that the state will conduct an investigation of this worker industrial accident and find out a little bit more. Say that again?
That's really interesting just to think about it as an industrial accident. I wasn't even thinking about it in that kind of really interesting.
Yeah, so I'm sure OSHA will be, or HIOSH, the Hawaii Occupational Safety and Health Administration, will get involved to kind of do some type of investigation to see what happens. This is probably the biggest industrial accident related to seed farmers in quite some time. I'm not sure if I can recall another one quite like that, other than the one that involved, I think Syngenta was also at the helm with the drift episode at Waimea Canyon School several years back. So this one definitely big news. I think some folks, some bloggers were trying to spin it as, why is this newsworthy? But it's obvious that anytime there's workers injured, that's kind of unfortunate, and that when there's a number of them in one incident, that it's kind of a big deal. So back to the question, Eric, in regards to growing our farmers. Your program is one of them. What would you like to see more of in regards to trying to get young people involved on the farm sooner than later?
Sooner than later, we just make more opportunities for people to start some in their diapers. I am a very strong advocate that everyone puts their baby in the lo'i. In any kind of way, we can just spread our knowledge and work with each other to create more farming opportunities. It's really good. So whether that's, just going to other people and showing them, hands-on what to do, or creating more community centers where we can have agricultural hubs where, maybe there's a big community. plot area, like the one that is now underway in Kilauea, and maybe, you know, we have one. Pretty much what I like to see is a community ag park in every au plot. And I think once we have that, we can have the opportunity for children from the very beginning to have the opportunity to not have to, like, not have that opportunity to have access to land and to grow food and to make money and have an alternative to doing stuff like working in the service industry.
Right on. Well, I have, I'm going to put you on hold, Eric. I'm going to try to bring this person up. I just hung up on somebody. It was Felicia. She wanted to chime in, so I'm going to try to bring her on up here just like that. Put her on hold and then go like that. Oh, and I blew it. Aloha, call, call him I, Eric. Felicia, are you there? No. Eric, thanks for holding.
Oh,
yeah. So I did it again, hit the wrong button. But I appreciate, Eric, your suggestion that we start early. We start early and often.
Yeah, early and often, and just kind of make it a rhythm of life. Like, this is the norm. This is what I want to do. So any kind of way to empower people is really what it's about. And, you know, there's many great organizations such as Megan Guys and the Malama Kauai Crew, Waipa Foundation. There's guys over on the west side that, you know, we're all in this, you know, collaborative kakou effort to, you know, just really give people the confidence to go out there and farm, because, you know, we all have it. We're all born, you know, to eat, and part of eating is growing food, and it's all instinctively in there with us. So we just gotta, you know, bring back the knowledge of some people, and it can happen. You know, we can all grow food, believe it or not. You can do it. So we all can, and it's you know, it just takes a little bit of. To use Mr. Dunsmore's phrase, we need to grow a culture to have successful agriculture. So, I think that Joe is definitely right with that. So I'm just on board with that kind of philosophy, I believe, at the moment. So, yeah.
Well, Eric, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. And mahalo for your good work with the students and farmers and the Aina. I think we all benefit when we have endeavors such as that being successful. And you want to give out contact information if folks want to get in touch or find out more about Go Farm Hawaii and how they might be able to be part of this growing movement.
Well, we are going to have another recruitment information download talk story seminar on April 20th. So mark it on your calendars. It's scheduled for 6 p.m. where we're going to have a general information kind of talk story. You know, I come in, kind of tell you guys a little bit more about the program. We have a couple of guest speakers lined up. Current farmers on the island that kind of share their mana'o about what it's like to farm, and hey, is farming really for you, and this is what it takes to kind of go at it. And, we also have some of different government agencies that that are here on island that are out there to help you as a farmer. So we're kind of just exposing you to some of the you know, getting your feet just on the edge of the lo'i, if you will. So and we'll have classes available starting in March again. In May again. Mark your calendars for April 20th. And if you have any other interest in the program, you can always check out our website at gofarmhawaii.org. That's gofarmhawaii.org. And if any of you guys need talk to me directly, you can always give me a call at 896-2793, or you can send me an email at ewhansen, that's H-A-N-S-E-N, at hawaii.edu.
Right on. Eric Hansen from Go Farm Hawaii. Appreciate it. And if you're not paying attention on Saturday nights, the other side of the Get Low show. Eric Hansen hosts a wonderful Saturday night Get Down, the Saturday Soul Shakedown. Eric Hansen, thank you so much for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio.
Mahalo, Jimmy.
Mahalo, Eric. The station that loves you, I'm going to let you go. And then got another phone call right there. Oh, did it happen? Hello, are you still there? Did I drop you, Felicia? Bingo. Yep, I did. Oh, rats. How come? How about now? Still.
Hello?
Oh, you are there.
Yeah, I had to call again. No problem. I wanted to make a quick comment about the Syngenta story.
Okay, please do.
What I think is really important is that we are careful to really explore what happened. And not, I don't think you were taking an alarmist perspective, but I want to make sure that we don't take an alarmist perspective, because what was good and what happened is that when that mistake happened, those 10 people were taken to the hospital for observation, you know, according to their emergency procedures. So we don't want to have them punished somehow for doing it, and then, like, next time, like, because we don't know what all happened yet. So if maybe those people were showing symptoms and were taken just to be reviewed, we don't want to cause them too much caution of bad press and for them not to take safety measures, right?
Right.
Like, you know,
that's
so,
a protocol.
For the sake of the workers, we're glad that the instant response of the company was to go make sure that everybody's okay.
Right.
And, you know, we know what the official story is, and I know that people tend to, you know, often say, they're just saying it. But, you know, maybe they're saying what really did happen, and that's that they recognized that an accident happened, that they were in the field too soon, and they took them to the doctor.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're not fabricating or, you know, making up. Or maybe hiding.
Yeah, I mean, it might be have been, I mean, their choice, at least they're saying in the press, is that we saw a misstep. We took them to the hospital in a company van.
Right.
And took them to the emergency room and had everybody checked out.
Mm-hmm.
What we're not hearing is, you know, were they fine, were they not fine? We're not hearing that. And we need to hear that, but we want to make sure that we don't give them the motivation to not use caution and check it out. So I just wanted to, because it seems like, you know, we all have a presumption that one of them was somehow injured, and it's comfortable to presume that, but we don't know that. So, you know, KKCR will work to see, like, what we can do to make sure that we're bringing across facts and right information, and I think that you presented it really well, and we want to make sure that that there's always policy to keep everybody safe, and that we don't scare them away from overreacting. You know, if in fact they overreacted, which is kind of what was implied in the press, I want them to continue to overreact, you know. I want them to be able to always feel like the first thing they should do is to ensure safety of their people.
Sure, but there's also, if you will, in the press and in the media and social media at that, folks like Joan Conroe or Joni Rose Comilla, who are going to spin the story that, oh, you guys are just being anti-ag. Oh, you guys are complaining about nonsensical stuff. Oh, why such hysteria about this? There's no proof that this is harmful. So it's important.
Was that in the blog? I don't actually even read that one person's thing, the first one you brought up, because I rarely see facts. I rarely see accurate information. So,
well, that is one of the issues, is that the factual information is not so factual. But, you know, people want to believe what they want to believe. It's across the board. But it's important that folks do you know, gather the information. I'm glad that the state is going to investigate. It seems that would be appropriate. It does seem that HIOSH would be another regulatory body that should kind of involve themselves in this, because it's a workplace accident, and obviously you don't want to see this happen without any other, you know, type of review internally. I'm sure the folks at Syngenta are going to review. At least that's what they said they're doing in the papers, to make sure that this type of unfortunate incident doesn't occur again. And, you know, as people pointed out, it's I guess if there's a blessing to this, is that it happened during work hours to employees, as opposed to folks who were riding their bikes close by, or folks that were attending school close by, or people that were just innocent bystanders caught downwind from an unfortunate industrial accident. Because, as we all know, accidents happen.
That's right. And so our team, we do our best at KKCR to be really looking at what happened. But I just, when you're speaking about how things go through the Coconut Wireless, which now tends to be on the internet, I both saw a posting, an alarming picture, because I knew these children in it, with a statement, but one of these kids died. Well, that didn't happen. So I was glad to realize that there was an accident at Limahai, but the 29-year-old man from Hanalei
survived it.
And then I also have seen, and something I'm going to be really looking at in a couple weeks out, we're going to have a portion of our show is going to be dedicated to looking at vaccines and medicine. There's been something out with a bill that is a national piece that's saying, you know, mandatory vaccines are on the legislature for Hawaii. And, you know, that none of us want to see that. But I went a little bit deeper, and then I did pull up this bill, which is called House Bill 1946. And the bill says that they're suggesting that Hawaii just immediately follow the national protocol that comes out by the Center for Disease Control. So that might be okay, those people might come up with mandatory vaccinations, but this is not wording that says there is mandatory vaccination. So we really need to look closely at that. There are many people who maybe don't want their child forcefully vaccinated, nor the adult forcefully vaccinated. But this is another thing that came out through the national blogosphere, social media, that is saying that Hawaii is considering mandatory vaccinations. And so digging a little bit deeper at hawaii.capitol.gov, I saw that HB 1946, people can look that one up, House Bill 1946, is simply saying we want to immediately reflect what the United States Department of Health is suggesting, and it to overcome public notice, hearing, and comments required. So it's a step away from what they're actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at these things, it's just important to take a close look. And I appreciate, Jimmy, how much you go to all these meetings and how diligently you look at it. And I think you do an excellent job, and I'm honored to be on the same team as you.
Well, thanks, Felicia. And I was going to say, you set a very high standard and are an inspiring role model for many of us. So thank you, Felicia. And appreciate you calling in and adding your mana'o to this about the whole kind of pesticide industrial ag incident in Waimea, or Kekaha, rather. I'm going to let you go. I've got one more phone call once again in before the top of the hour. So thanks, Felicia, and good luck tonight.
I'll be at Go Farm tonight.
Oh,
so,
terrific.
Great.
Okay. We'll see you then. Aloha.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Now I'm trying to get the next phone call up. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Aloha.
Aloha.
How is my connection?
Well, that's sounding pretty good. Is this Joanna?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box. In about 2 minutes, I'm going to do a station identification, but feel free. The phone is yours.
Okay, thank you so much for the show. And definitely, I appreciated the fact that they are trying to promote some sort of organic, quote-unquote, agriculture. But I worked in marketing for so many years, and this reminded me when I learned about what Big Tobacco did. When people started talking about cancer, they created the big campaign for the Marlboro County. So people would not think of cancer. They would think of a cowboy on Marlboro County.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman, who is, as I told her, very charming and very charismatic, is like Miss Organic. And the movie is showing agricultural agriculture, which is not organic. They even show a guy who's crying for his dad, remember, because he died of cancer?
Right.
Was it non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Right.
And that's absolutely related to the kind of pesticides that they are using. So it also reminds me of, because when in this case it's BASF, but as we know, it's a cartel. They all work together, doing marketing together.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, as you know, the main, one of the main sponsors for the American Cancer Society in Kauai, it's DuPont Pioneer. And that's a slap on the face for people who have cancer or have family that they love to have cancer, because one of the number one makers of cancer-causing agents, poisons, is the Pond Pioneer. So it reminds me to that. It's a situation where they trying to greenwash something, because everybody's like, thank you, the Pond Pioneer, for being a sponsor. Thank you for making a party for the mom or the uncle who has cancer, but they're the ones who gave you cancer. You know
right.
what I mean? And nobody's talking about it. To me, that's crazy. So I feel that the woman is charming. What she wants to do personally is charming, but she's like the Pond Pioneer in a cancer gala. You know, they are greenwashing a product. And she, as charming as she is, you know, they were bringing kids from Waimea. And I think, again, they're going to talk to them about this wonderful option. But this is BASF who is suing us to not be able to protect the kids in Waimea. This is Syngenta. And I talk about them as one because they are working as one. Right now we knew about these workers that were poisoned in the Syngenta field.
Mm-hmm.
They're not telling us what they are doing, and Coconut Wireless is what responds to the lack of transparency of these companies. They never disclose anything unless they're caught with their hands doing something.
Right.
So I feel that Syngenta, as you know, in the case of the workers, they're acknowledging they have no other option because it's their own workers are saying, yeah, we stepped on this.
Mm-hmm.
But when this happened in Waimea, if it was moms being hysterical, they said that it was some sort of mass hysteria, and they, to this day, they blame it on, you know, stink wheat. And so it does a concern for all of us. I mean, I praise the lady for what she does personally. However, she is working for those who are poisoning our island, our homes. And she is being paid to do PR for them because they're paying her. So I don't feel comfortable at all about the fact that now they have free entrance to public colleges, public schools,
right.
and our taxpayers' dollar to brainwash our kids and say how good they are, because they ain't good. They're not being good. They're terrible, terrible, terrible neighbors. And they're knowingly doing what they're doing, just like they did. I know we are with the time, but you know that the there is lawsuits like the one in West Virginia. Anybody wants to Google West Virginia, Dow, what they are doing there, how knowingly they dumped tons of C8 and now it's banned, but they knowingly dumped something that was cancerogenous and into the environment. This is the kind of companies that we are dealing with. So, beautiful lady, but, you know, she works for these people and I cannot trust that.
Well, Joanna, I appreciate you sharing that. I think that when you asked the question of Margaret on Monday, there were folks in the room that were uncomfortable with that type of questioning, and I think you might have taken some people by surprise that, if you will, Margaret or the college or BASF would be confronted on, if you will, a PR ploy, as you framed it. And it's something that I think everyone needs to consider when it comes to community support, when we have corporate sponsors, what does that mean? And what is the obligation? Megan was talking about, some of the school garden. I'm sure there are some school gardens that receive some support from our Westside Ag neighbors. And it is a dilemma because resources are few and far between for some of our schools and for some of our communities. And like you were pointing out, these are well-funded international corporations that have a large budget to kind of buy the influence of their communities and at times are pretty effective at it.
Correct. And, talking about this is a place where you're supposed to be able to learn. As open information for everybody to learn what's the best for the highest good, not a place for people to be pitched something. In the case of the chancellor, with all the respect, she merely stopped the questioning. Maybe other people want to ask more about the subject. And as soon as I asked that, she stopped the presentation, basically. And I feel it's important that things are on the open. One thing is aloha, and I respect what aloha is. But another thing is to take advantage of this aloha spirit by taking advantage of the goodness of the spirit of the people in Kauai. That's about it.
Well, Joanna, I've got to do my top of the hour stuff.
Thank you so much, Jimmy, for what you do. I appreciate it. And much aloha. Have a wonderful Aloha Thursday.
Yeah, thank you, Joanna. We'll be in touch. Aloha.
Here.
So we have a phone call who is going to be joining us here very shortly. I got to play a couple of things right off the top.
This is Ron Whaley, KKCR, Hanalei, and KAQA, Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio.
Thanks, Ron Whaley.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please.
Declare your love on KKCR. Donate $10 or more to KKCR by Friday, February 11th, and hear your declaration of love announced on KKCR during every live show from 7 a.m. to midnight on Valentine's Day, Sunday, February 14th. More information online at kkcr.org or call 808-826-7774.
Love me do.
Yeah, that's right. Declare your love for KKCR, right on KKCR. We got Joseph Dunsmore from Joseph. Where are you from these days? I know that you were here and then gone and now back again. And Megan was asking some questions. I got Megan Fox from Malama Kauai in the booth. Tell us a little bit about your background, and then I know you're going to leave to go check out Eric Hansen at Go Farm.
Well, I've been farming since 1971, so I'm aging myself there. And in 1973, I during the Arab oil embargo, I read this story in the Bible about Joseph. And it said, and then the money failed, and all the people sold themselves into slavery for food. And so that made a big impression on me. And I was young. I was in my 20s. And I decided that I wanted to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So I went after, years of, farming and I had a big organic business for 12 years. I pretty much supplied the whole United States with organic food. And I realized that it's probably a good thing if people go hungry, because they'll start to get some values or some appreciation of food. Because right now they grow food where they don't pay people, and people are very wasteful of food. And I feel like we need a new culture around food.
Mm. That values the production of food and values what it
values
does
food,
for us.
Values nature. But, when you look at it, it's like it all evolves around money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not food for people. It's food for money.
Mm.
And that's why we can justify GMO and pesticides, because it's food for money. It's their business. They have to make a profit. And the consumers never really take into account that they should get the highest quality food, and they should have superior food, not just mediocre food or food that's deficient.
The cheapest processed food.
Yeah. Right? And even now, you know, they, when I left Mexico to come to Kauai, we paid the men $4 a day, the women $2 a day, and the kids 50 cents a day. And that's the wages around the world even now.
I was going to say, I bet you hired a lot of kids at that at that rate.
The kids were worth 50 cents a day. So, yeah. And so I saw about, you know, like now it's the business of agriculture. So even small market growers, it's all about the business of agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the money. They have to make a profit. It becomes difficult for, like, farm owners. You get a mortgage, you take a loan out on your vehicle, you have to make enough money to pay back all your expenses. You got to pay people, buy fertilizers and seeds and equipment and all that. And to really make it work, it doesn't work. You know, it really doesn't work unless you have your own money or you work a full-time job and you farm on the side, because it's a passion to grow things. So I see that we need a new culture. And part of what I see is about the money. Because right now, if anything would happen to the money, then what would happen?
And you can't eat money.
You can't eat it. And not many of us even have very much to eat. So, except for change, I got a bag of change.
You can't eat plastic cards.
So it's important. And so I have a definition for sustainability. And that's if you can live without Federal Reserve notes, money, and gasoline, and still be happy, you're sustainable.
Oh, there you go.
And that's my goal for Kauai, is that we could have community here. And so on Kauai, I'm going to just say this really quick, and that is there's plenty of land on Kauai. We don't have a lack of land.
Right.
We don't have a lack of resources. It's just it's not available for anybody.
Mm.
And so we have to make changes. We have to change ag housing. It's got to be more realistic to the situation.
Right.
We have to have ag parks that you can live on. We need to see that as a part of our culture. And I see more community-supported agriculture. And I would like to see it happen when things are good and still fairly, you know, everybody still has a little bit of money.
Right.
Even though, you know, they're going to cut Social Security. They're talking about cutting down on food stamps and things like that. And I think it's important that people start to look at sustainability. And then to think like, oh, like 20 years from now, my child is going to buy this land and farm it, you know, or even lease this land and farm it. It's really unrealistic. You know, it's like, to think that I'm going to be sustainable because I'm going to have a bunch of small farmers where I can buy my food from. Those farmers aren't able to really make it. So, and I've been here 16 years, and I haven't really noticed a big increase. There's a lot more vegetables in the farmers market. There's a lot more Filipinos growing, and I'm thankful for them. But as far as actual farmers, there's not really that many new farmers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see much opportunity for farmers, but I see a lot of opportunity for communities creating agriculture. So how do we get that into a people who are so busy making a living? You know, a lot of people working two jobs. Got their kids, you know, in some sort of daycare or childcare or babysitters or family watching them. How do we get this to convert around to where, like, maybe the community garden is daycare, you know, where the dance comes into the garden and the music comes into the garden and the yoga comes into the garden and people hang out in the garden like they hang out in the kitchen, and it's a place for to be social. And
right.
It just, to me, it could be really beautiful and really fun. The other part of it is that it frees up young people, because where are the young people going to live? I mean, right now, farmers that I know say, well, when, you know, I'm going to sell the farm and the kids are going to get their engineering degree and they're going to move to the mainland because they can't afford to live here. So a lot of the residents, the old-time residents, especially Japanese, they already know they're going to sell the farm and that their kids are going to get engineer degrees and go move to the mainland. So,
right.
It's really all about creating a culture, and I'm not exactly sure how to do that, but I feel that it's a place for the women to create vision, and I'm going to be a little bit sexist here, and I believe that women have the vision, and women need
that
the opportunity.
Kind of sexism is allowed.
Yeah, Megan is nodding her head and saying that kind of sexism is allowed. Oh. There we go. So hold on before you go, Joseph. I know you're gonna run out the door soon, but I want to bring this caller up. Caller, are you still with us?
Yes,
yep.
I am.
Thank you for joining the conversation.
Yes, I'm glad Felicia called. You know, we've got to make sure our facts are straight, and you can educate me on the facts as well. Now, pertaining to Syngenta,
mm-hmm.
So these workers. Was it reported by Syngenta, or the workers went straight to the hospital? How did it happen?
I believe that it was reported by Syngenta.
Okay, it was reported by Syngenta, and they walked on the fields before that limit of 24 hours, right?
Correct.
Supposedly they got in at 20, so it was self-reported. Are the workers okay?
From what I heard, they returned. The majority of them sought medical attention, received it,
yeah.
And then were released, but okay. Several stayed overnight for observation, and that they were, this I think happened on a Wednesday, and
yeah.
Some of them returned on Friday, but all of them were back on Monday.
Okay. Yeah,
that's what I heard, so that's an unconfirmed report.
Yeah, okay, I was worried about their health, if you know they had gotten sick. And
yeah,
so
no, absolutely.
All were released, right?
Yes.
And, okay, so they were all released. Now, what were they being treated for? Can we get that information?
I think it is out there, and it was exposure to Lorsban, which is
Lorsban, right?
Yeah, it's easier to pronounce than chlorpheniramine.
Yeah, right. No, Lorsban, one of the
brand names of
a Syngenta pesticide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, supposedly, one of the symptoms is respiratory breathing and problems, stuff like that, dealing with the respiratory arrest. Is that one of the problems dealing with Lorsban? What are the major, maybe Megan might know that, what are the major concerns around Lorsban?
Megan, do you
supposedly,
know?
Because supposedly, this is banned in Switzerland, and right now it's being studied by the EPA to be banned as well, right?
Yeah, so I think immediate exposure, you know, it's like you're feeling ill, sick, nauseous. And then long term, I think that's the concern that most folks have, is that long term that it's a both an endocrine disruptor as well as having I don't want to say mental retardation, but developing minds don't develop so well.
Okay. So this Lorsban has that possibility of affecting the body in those ways, right? Okay, so I'm glad you brought this stuff up because I needed some clarity about it.
Yeah.
And so they're still spraying Lorsban then.
So this chemical was used quite a bit by like exterminators and was used quite a bit in domestic applications for like roaches, fleas, ants, and so property managers, folks were reporting illnesses, and EPA decided that they would reduce its use and restricted it. So it's not one of those general use pesticides. It was something that used to be kind of over the counter, is now restricted. But it is
corrupted.
Yes, and it's being reviewed again, Raymond. Paul Achitoff recently in Civil Beat wrote an article that, again, Joan Conron was quick to kind of attack and suggest that Paul Achitoff is just trying to make money off these chemical guys.
Right.
By suing
so we know Don is working for Cornell University, who's supporting the GMO industry.
Supposedly, she does receive a paycheck for that kind of stuff.
I'm pretty sure because I've seen her write articles that have been on Cornell University publications, you know. Yeah, I went online and I seen that. So the thing is that so, but you don't know how often it's sprayed, right?
I don't know, and I'm sure there are some people that could look at those Good Neighbor reports and give you those numbers.
And so all the companies, BASF, Dow, Syngenta, they're all spraying it. All using Lorsban.
I don't know, but I'm sure it's commonly used in agricultural settings.
Okay. Thank you for your clarification, and then I'll make sure I'll study the issue more. And I want to thank Felicia to make it clear, too, because you don't want to be in a position of making accusations that didn't happen, you know. And that's good journalism and good reporting. Okay, you take care.
Right on. Thank you, Brother Ray.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that agriculture, you know, it's known for, is the pesticides that get used. Not all agriculture, certainly some more than others, and some farmers are inclined to say it's impossible to grow food on the scale that we need to without the use of these types of inputs. Joseph, do you agree or you concur, disagree?
I've never had to spray. Mm-hmm. But I have a nutritional insect and disease control program, mm-hmm. so I control my insects by having properly balanced, healthy plants. And mm-hmm. so in all the years I've been on Kauai, I've never had to spray. And every now and then I'll get, because I'm a gypsy farmer, and I'll get aphids or something like that, and I'll usually know why I'm getting them, because the soil's not quite ready yet. And a lot of times my first crop of aphids, I'll let them go, and they'll create the ladybugs, and the ladybugs will get rid of all the other ones. But I find that, you know, my nutritional insect and disease control program works the best. And I think that when we look at large-scale commercial industrial agriculture, we're going to continue to see these kinds of things happen because accidents happen.
Right.
And at the same time, we have that whole culture, because I grew up in that culture. I grew up in the 80s when I had organic farms in Beltsville, Maryland, when if you said the word organic, you couldn't work for the university. You couldn't work for the USDA if you said the word organic. It was a dirty word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and in those days from the 50s to the 80s, if you treated people with herbs, you were a quack. And if you cared about the environment, you were a nut. And if you cared about your own health, you were a nut. And doctors said diet and health didn't go together. You could eat whatever you want. If you got sick, it was your genetics. And we were born into an upside-down world. And in that upside-down world, we're a part of an upside down culture. And so to recreate the culture, you know, to really create a culture from the heart where everyone can have fun and be happy and children can kind of weave themselves in the agriculture and learn by association. Because it's important that the parents embrace the culture that the children can learn from it, not put the kids out in a school garden and say, you make the garden and do something that your parents won't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I'm going to get back to what I was saying about women creating the culture. And I feel it's important that the women get together and decide what culture they want. And then us men, we'll go out, the Connies, and we'll go down and make it happen. And usually these days, especially about agriculture, it's always men. You go like, it's always men. There'll be a token woman or two there and maybe a token black maybe. But it's really important that the women get more involved. So I'm totally into empowering women to be able to put their voice out and to come together and put their voice out, because it's about creating like home agriculture, community agriculture, social agriculture, the culture of
nurturing agriculture.
Nurturing agriculture. And we'll get our food from that.
Yeah.
We don't need, and if we don't have money, we'll get our food from that for sure.
Right.
And if we don't have money, we can't go to Costco, because they won't have more food either.
That's it. So, Megan, you're nodding. What do you think of Joseph's dissertation about women leading the charge?
I think my husband might agree that that happens some places. Poor guy. Yeah, you know, I agree with pretty much everything you had to say, except for there was a little part where you mentioned that we might not need enough farm. We might not need more farmers. And, you know, just because I hang out with a lot of chefs, and we're also really trying to work with some of the school food programs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at larger volume procurement, you do need more food. They're coming short. That's where a lot of our importing goes to. I think the challenge there is getting farmers to work together, because I don't necessarily think we all need to go run out tomorrow and go farm 100 acres and buy one of those sexy tractors that everybody's in love with. I think if farmers work together and build these kind of cooperatives that they can distribute at a larger volume level to meet the needs of some of those institutionalized procurers,
mm-hmm.
You're really fulfilling a huge need, and you're working together to get bigger customers. But working within some of the systems that we already have, I'm all about the village concept too. Mm-hmm. And I think it, you know, backyard first, community first, family mm-hmm. first, mm-hmm. Ohana build out. But, you know, when we are still in that economic system, there is that gap that we could fill and we could stop importing and start putting local food into it.
Right. I mean, I think back in the day when I first heard of Malama Kauai, and there was a Malama Kauai radio show on Fridays with Chris Jabe and Keone Kealoha, just talking about that, if you will, gap of, you know, if the boat doesn't come, I mean, you know, and get a chance to kind of, you know, share condolences to the family of Glenn Hantz. Glenn Hantz was a visionary and leader of the food movement here on Kauai, was involved in production, agriculture, training agriculturalists, bringing in outside resources to try to help local farmers. And so Glenn Hantz will be missed, and a celebration of his life, I'm sure, will be attended by many. But we do need to have that type of awareness of where are we lacking, and also recognizing the abundance, recognizing all that is around us, whether it is natural resources or human resources or even, you know, capital that exists locally, ways that we can kind of leverage that for the benefit of our community and our sustainability.
Yeah, I like to mention I've been on the island for 16 years, and I've been working on municipal composting for 16 years. And it's kind of something that just keeps going on, and all the dirty paper and food waste still going to the landfill. So, and also a lot of like fishery waste and slaughterhouse waste and dead animals and all those things go to the landfill. And so you can't be sustainable on an island unless you are able to recover your resource stream or your waste stream. And so things like that are really important that we start to look at as a community again. Right now it's like, oh, well, you should start a composting operation. Well, you can't hardly make money from a composting operation. So whose responsibility is it to do composting of our waste? Is it the county's responsibility or is it agriculture's responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's definitely that county has some responsibility in recovering our waste stream and doing better with it than putting it in a hole.
Yeah. Well, I certainly feel like they're responsible if they're going to take our money to do that.
Yeah. That's been a real passion of mine. So I really would like, I'm going to work on that for the next 3 months to see what I can do. I've been working on, like I said, for 16 years, and it just never seems to get off the ground, and it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
The other part I'm going to mention again is about that right now is probably the best time that a farmer could make money if he can get all the things worked out, his land, his expenses, and his labor. This is a time when food prices are high, people are wanting the food.
Willing to pay a premium.
Food's expensive anyway these days.
Here, for sure.
Even conventional onions, I'm looking at them at $3 a pound at Safeway and stuff like that. It's like, food's expensive.
Yeah.
And I feel that there's some things that should be taken into account, and I've talked to Scott Enright about this, and that is that EBT and food stamps is out of the Department of Agriculture. And rather than giving, you know, free money to people to buy junk food, I would love it if EBT was tied more into local agriculture.
Mm.
And I wish that there was a way that could be tied into community-supported agriculture rather than people just getting this money and then going to Costco and buying whatever they can get, because that agriculture money that people are spending, it's not very much of it is going to our local economy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're making some good steps there. I know, Jillian Seals? She has a CSA that accepts EBT SNAP. She's one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, one of the first ones on the island to do that. The county hires Malama Kauai to fulfill a contract to do SNAP and EBT at the Sunshine Markets. And it's amazing to see not only are people getting more food for their dollar at the our farmers markets are not that expensive compared to the grocery stores. They do get a lot more for their dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Their families eat healthier. And they're really taking federal funding that's already allocated to the island, spending it in our local farming economy, and then it's not getting shipped back to the feds, which is what happens if people don't sign up for EBT and use it, is the money just
goes back to the budget.
Yeah.
buys more drones.
Right.
Sorry. But, you know, I mean, these are the little steps that we can take to build resiliency in our community, mm-hmm. resiliency in our food systems at a local level that only benefit us in the long run.
Right, but it would be great if every single farmer's market, that EBT SNAP booth was an mm-hmm. institution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was at every single one so that people that can't afford that healthy food still have
access to it. What would that take for that to happen? What is the stumbling block or the roadblock to that?
Honestly, and we've put in some multi-year federal level grants and things, so we are waiting on some funding. Most of it comes down to the funding for the person staffing that booth to do the exchanges. Mm-hmm. A little bit of materials and supplies, but most of it we have and can reuse for multiple farmers markets. But the staffing adds up, especially when you want to pay somebody a fair rate.
Right. There we go. I was wondering if there was a follow-up there.
Keone just texted me. He also says that Hawaii only claims about 50% of what we're allotted for SNAP and EBT funds.
So there's more funds available.
So 50% of it's getting
shipped out.
Right back out. So mm-hmm. that's, I don't know the total amount, but it's probably millions
right?
of dollars that we're not taking access to. And when you look at the poverty standards and the poverty rate on Kauai, most people qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people are taking advantage. So
there you go.
Think of it as your duty to our economy to go out and get that if it's available.
Well, if you just joined in the conversation, that's Megan Fox from Alama Kauai. She is here as a guest along with Joseph Dunsmore, who is going to be heading out to join Eric Hansen from Go Farm Hawaii at Kauai Community College. Eric was joining us here earlier on this show. We've been talking about the future of food and growing future farmers on Kauai. I was hopeful that Margaret Schloss, who was a featured farmer in the movie Farmland, would be able to join us, but she's been booked and double booked and is out of minutes. She'll be returning back to Pennsylvania. I think she's outside of Pittsburgh. But she was at Kauai Community College on Monday talking to community as well as students of natural resources through the Department of Education high school programs. She was the featured speaker at a field trip at the college on Tuesday. I'm going to play a little bit of station identification stuff that I didn't do at the top of the hour. And then the phone lines are open at 826-7771 if you'd like to talk story with us or you have some announcement or some perspective that you'd like to share, please give us a call at 826-7771. But before I go there, I just want to thank the good folks at Hawaii Life and at Tahiti Nui for making this out-of-the-box program possible. It's with the support from listeners like you and the good people at Hawaii Life and Tahiti Nui that make plain this underwriter special.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
Just want to say mahalos for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I'm Jimmy Trujillo, joined with Joseph Dunsmore, who's on his way to Lihue very shortly, and Megan Fox, who is going to be hanging out for the next couple of minutes before we depart and move forward into the evolution. Evolve Radio will be on at 6, followed by Slim and the Mystery Train at 8 o'clock, and then the good old Commodore PC and his Loco-Moco flavor will be coming on your airways at 10 o'clock on the station that loves you, Kauai Community Radio. Joseph, before you go, last thoughts, comments?
Yeah, I just want to give a plug to myself. Is that I came back to Kauai. I was on the Big Island for a year planting there, and now I'm back on Kauai. And I would like to teach my classes that I teach. I've been teaching for like the last 10 years, and I feel that it's a really good class. It's very foundational. And it's kind of like learning how to ride a bicycle. So it's like how to grow food.
Mm-hmm.
And after you learn some of what I have to share, you can grow food anywhere.
Mm.
And I pretty much condensed it from a 12-week class that I used to teach at KCC. And I'm looking for sponsors now to help me to get it out to the public. And I'd like to get more young people involved, because usually in my classes, I think the average age is 60.
So, there you go. You can contact Steve Lucas at BASF. You might have a pile of money available. There are other folks out there as well.
I know. I'm really looking forward to teaching these classes, and I'm also looking forward to helping to. I'm going to keep saying this message about women creating the vision.
Mm-hmm.
We need vision. I think that we can, like, and I see a lot of this stuff. Like, actually, I see agribusiness on the west side, because I remember when they took that land, except Pioneer's been here for a long time. The military brought them there so that they would cover, they wanted agriculture around their base. And so I feel like while we're out there like marching against the agribusiness farms, we're ignoring another problem that we have on the west side, and that's our military. And so I would like to I would like for everybody in our community, not just a few of us, but all of us, to actually be a part of the solution of our culture. And so I'm really looking that the women can get into the community. And it's not just like Felicia all the time, you know. It's like if we could get everyone else to get
folks
involved.
Folks like Megan.
Yeah, it's like we'll have a visioning, and it'll be Felicia and Megan there and nobody else. I like to see everybody there.
There we go. Well, you know, that's a good vision, and thanks for joining us, Joseph, on a last-minute phone call. I do appreciate you dropping by. Glad that you were in the neighborhood and had an enjoyable morning at Waipaw.
Yeah, it was really fun. I got to peel tarot for about 4 hours, and my hands got all wrinkly. It was really nice.
There you go. And then, you know, thinking about women on the west side, Laura Yoshida at Pioneer, she might be somebody to talk to, or Beth Tokioka at Syngenta. There are folks that might be willing to partner up. And
I bet they have a vision.
I bet they have a vision. Well, I talked to Beth once, and she said her vision was that there would be small farmers and she could buy food.
There we go.
But then I have this, I don't trust the money, so I said, well, there might be small farmers, but what if we don't have any money? So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that I can't even imagine 20 years from now.
Mm.
I can't even imagine it, because things changing so quickly.
Yes, yes. So. It is amazing. I was listening to the radio just before my show. DJ Schutz had two gentlemen that were, if you will, playing with the latest technology with virtual reality and the 3D goggles and all that good stuff that Google is doing. And it's rapidly changing our world. This is for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Joseph, safe driving for you. And I'm going to play a little musical interlude and get some more water in my cup, and have Megan share a couple of little bit of tidbits before we go on. I got some questions for you, Megan, so don't go anywhere. And back to the Neil Young and the Harvest Moon.
Well, thank you, guys. That was really fun.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's fun to be able to share.
Go. Big round of applause for Neil Young. And we are back in the booth. Megan Fox with me. It's about 5:40-something. And the evolution will be on your community radio at 6 o'clock. Megan, thanks for joining me on this Out of the Box special.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for getting involved in the work that you're doing. I know that through Keiki to Career, mm-hmm. we started talking about the whole natural resources, you know, pipeline and mm-hmm. The Keiki to Career endeavor. Where we're at with that now, I'm not quite sure. Seems like we're, you know, reformulating or maybe getting a better handle on things once finances kind of mm-hmm. come into play. But looking at opportunities for our youth, for our students that are coming out of high school and not sure about going to college or mm-hmm. just maybe sure that they're not going to college, but they want to get into work. I appreciate that you've taken that kind of mantle on about looking for employment opportunities, career development, internships, just eye-opening, hands-on, experiential education and training that helps develop one's kind of life experience mm-hmm. and skill sets needed to survive and be resilient in this changing world.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because I think some of our best farmers are not going to be our best academics mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those kids that might not feel good in a classroom might feel great in the field.
Right.
So I think if we think, you know, if we kind of leave them behind, then we're leaving a lot of potential out there.
Right, right. Thanks for acknowledging that. And I know that next show I might, hopefully we'll have Benjamin Katz, who is the Kauai Community College choice for leading the Ho'oulu'wehi Institute, the Sustainable Living Institute of Kauai. And Benjamin's been on the job for, gosh, I'm not sure if it's...
months.
I was going to say, it hasn't been a half a year yet. I think no. He started at the beginning of the fall semester. So it'll be good to have Benjamin here. He's maybe a familiar name for some folks in the community. I didn't know Benjamin before he started, so I'm looking forward to learning more about him. But it's been a pleasure working with you and him in regards to trying to look at ways to, if you will, enhance what the Department of Ed is doing mm-hmm. and strengthen what the college is doing in creating that pathway from the high school setting of somebody who's looking at natural resources, whether that's in conservation and wants to be a resource manager out on the reef or a resource manager out in the mountains, mm-hmm. Or somebody looking to grow food or maybe get into landscaping, something that involves being outdoors, being around equipment and not worried or, in fact, probably enjoys getting sweaty, dusty, and feels good at the end of the day to say, hey, look what I accomplished. Look what we have done and have some gratification around that. You have some, I guess, some Malama Kauai pokers in the fire, some things coming up that maybe you'll share with us?
Yeah, sure. You know, one of the newer programs that we're still in the final funding stages of, but we've run a couple pilots now, is an ag internship program. And it's for high school and college students from ag classes. You know, I was really taking a look at that natural resources career pathway pretty in depth. We put out a guide for parents, teachers, students, different career pathways and employers and things like that on the island. And you know, one thing I kept noticing is we're doing pretty good on education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6 out of 7 of our high school serving institutions on the island have an agriculture or natural resources pathway. There's just one that doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Kauai Community College has a lot of different programs, and even the certificate program, the Go Farm with Eric, is great. It's very practical, lots of outside,
mm-hmm.
Lots of network connecting.
Short-term investment.
Yeah, short-term mm-hmm. investment. Really great to get people on their feet. And, but one thing I kept looking back on is we are investing a lot in education, but, you know, business students don't graduate and then go become CEOs.
Right.
So it's really hard if we're expecting kids to go through school and then just jump out and be
a
farmer.
Yep.
So really the component for me that seemed to be really missing in their career development was hands-on experience, mentorship, internships.
Mm.
And then as I was digging around, I found the 2013 Agricultural Skills Panel report that was put together by 600 statewide agriculture stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much broke down the major issues in the agricultural workforce island by island. And unsurprisingly, you know, they mentioned Kauai, the disconnect between industry and agricultural institutions and the lack of internship and mentorship opportunities was the number one problem.
Like non-existent.
I was like, great, because I wanted to do that.
Right.
So now I have more fuel. And, you know, and we've all been really lucky to have a lot of farmers really interested in hosting interns and giving them mentorship and time. So we have some open right now. We're partnering with Alulike and Kuga Agriculture out in Waimea. So we have some internships available for Native Hawaiian students age 15 to 24.
Okay.
Currently available. They can go to malamakauai.org if they want to get an application or more information. Or they can also give me a call at 828-0685 extension 12.
There you go.
And that's our current spring internship program. We're also going through a lot of funding cycles for our summer and our fall programs. And really the long-term goal is that we'll be running this program for about 3 years while we really work super closely with the high schools and the college and find some way for them to institutionalize an ag internship program so that anyone that goes through agriculture education, it's really an expected, normalized part of their education experience, and it gives them the connections to get jobs or start a business.
Yeah, that if you will, critical component about, okay, so I've learned about this, I've been exposed to this, now I get to do it.
Right.
And really see if this is kind of what I want to be doing.
Yeah, classroom's very different than the field.
Mm-hmm. No, that's an absolute fact. Megan, Malamaquai, have any events coming up or anything you want to share in April?
Oh, April, our big EDR festival.
We'll talk more a little bit after the show, too. But, yes, Earth Day Rising? Is it year five?
Six.
Year six.
Year six. It's going to be really exciting. Hawaii Tourism Association sponsored us this year with the County of Kauai.
Oh, no, wonderful.
So we get to do a lot more stuff, which is great. And it's also our organization's 10-year anniversary. So it's a big year for us. We're going to have lots of good stuff going on.
And will it be down by the beach or will it be up Mauka?
We're going to be at Malamaquai's Community Farm this year. So we did it for the first time last year. At our headquarters location. We're going to keep it there. We really want people to connect to the beautiful land out there. And Waikoa Plantation is just really gorgeous. And just to get people to kind of see the resources out there. It's right by the dog park.
Right.
Kalevi
Ridge. So for folks who aren't aware, what's up there at the Malamaquai
Community farm. So there's it's basically a 7-acre piece of property that we do lots of different education special events on. You know, our office is there. It's where all of us work and how our staff and interns. You know, and it starts, some of our earlier projects are in the front part of the property. So there's a community garden, which has 42 plots available. And it's in Kilauea, so if you're looking for a place to garden or get your farming start on, it's a great opportunity. And then there's the 2.5 acre agroforestry project, the Kauai Food Forest, that was in partnership with Regenerations and Luboff and tons of community partners and volunteers. And I think that's almost, I think it just hit its 2-year anniversary. So it's pretty magical up there. It's
and there's going to be a seed exchange there coming up, is it March?
I think they might be doing it at Aninahoe.
Oh, okay.
This year. It's pretty big. So, and then, you know, we have a chicken and vegetable farm. We have a youth garden, livestock area.
And bees in the future?
And bees!
I've been
twisting Jimmy's arm to come do a bee workshop for us. So that will be one of our main events of
Earth Day Rising.
Earth Day Rising.
I'm looking forward to that.
Beekeeping 101, installing a hive. And come learn. So important on this island. I'm going to keep our pollinators happy.
We got to keep them happy. And we have great beekeeping opportunities for people here on Kauai, regardless of the, if you will, scare about Roundup in our honey. And that's a whole nother story, another program.
Love to hear that story.
Oh, my gosh. We have some issues to work through because, you know, we shouldn't have Roundup-ready bees. We shouldn't have our pollinators mixing it up with pesticides. And, you know, this is, for folks who haven't heard, recently a high school student from Kapaw High School with some guidance from Dr. Carl Berg from Surf Rider, as well as her instructor at the high school, tested local honey to find out if Roundup would be present. And unfortunately, that was the case in a high percentage. I think it was almost a quarter of them were found to be hot, if you will, tested positive. So we got to find out how's that happening and what can we do to get those numbers to go down and better ways for us to manage our weeds. And obviously some people think of weeds as unsightly. I look at weeds as foraging for my bees. Anything that has a flower on it is something that's got potential resources for my my friends in the box, and we'd like to keep them happy, healthy, and able to deliver the goods, whether it's pollinating flower to flower or at the end of the harvest, you know, jar of the golden good stuff for consumers. They should be able to enjoy that without, if you will, fear of it maybe being contaminated by unintended pesticides and other poisons. So we'll get to the bottom of that. But looking forward to Earth Day Rising, year six. My, how time flies.
I know.
There we go. I did mention the word Roundup, and the phone starts to ring. But we'll try to bring this person on like that. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Aloha, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. How can we do? What can we do for you, sir? Is that Eric?
Well, the magic word, Roundup.
Is there go beekeeping Doug on the phone?
This is beekeeping Doug. If that's what you want to call me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know you only have a few minutes left. I'm going to give you guys some numbers.
Okay.
All right. According to the, I'm going to say now, the European Union, 1/10 of a part per billion is what they deem acceptable for us to take.
1/10
of a part per billion.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a small amount.
Now, some other studies have come out that have been in some people's eyes confirmed, not confirmed, and in other people's eyes confirmed. That same number is enough to cause tumorous cancers in mammals. 1/10 of a part per billion. I was personally responsible for delivering quite a few samples to that test. I'm going to list them off really quick here for you now. Kaloa, 0. Puhi, 0. Tokei, 0. Hanapepe, 0. Now, all these are hives that I personally collected from. Poipu, 9.6. Now, I also collected some feral hives from Kamakani. Kamakani feral 1. 155.2
parts per billion.
Parts per billion. 155.2. Kamakani feral 3. 61.4 parts per billion. Kamakani 341.6 parts per billion.
And that's the highest concentrate number that we've got, or do you have...
That was the highest number that we got on the test, of all the tests. Yes.
So not good numbers.
No. I'll finish real quick. Keka'a had 80.2. Another feral Kamakani, 32.6. So it's interesting that I had four different Kamakani feral hives that ranged from 32 to 341. They all had different percentages, and they all basically came from the same area. So it's interesting where our bees go and what's going on.
There we go. And like you said, we don't have much time, and this is a long discussion for another show, I think, but I appreciate
it. It is. Have a great one, Jimmy. No, I just thought I'd put some numbers out for people so they can understand.
That. Thanks for chiming in, because that's what it's going to take, is for more people to understand that this is problematic.
Yes. Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, Keep it up.
Aloha. So we are getting right down to it. Megan, last words, final thoughts?
Thank you. Keep buying local.
Keep buying local. I want to say thank you to the folks in San Diego and St. Louis, Missouri, Walla Walla, Washington, and Tokyo, Japan, in Honolulu, and in Wilmington, Delaware, and Santa Rosa, Arizona. Tucson is the folks in Arizona, not Santa Rosa. They're in California. Austin, Texas is in the house. Folks in Kapaa listening, in Vancouver, B.C., in the Tualatin, Oregon. And where's that other one? I can't even pronounce it, but it's in Japan. And Kilauea out there in the beautiful island of Kauai. Thanks so much for being here on this Thursday afternoon. Enjoy the sunset. It's wonderful that it's setting later and later. Mm-hmm. Our days are getting longer, and that's welcomed by many. And don't forget to declare your love on KKCR. It's a program. It's a special that we're going to be running. Donate $10 or more to KKCR by Friday, February 12th, and hear your declaration of love announced on KKCR on every live show from 7 a.m. to midnight. on Valentine's Day, which is Sunday, February 14th. So go ahead and hit us up. You can call us at 826-7774 to find out more, or you can go online at www.kkcr.org. Call in and give us a credit card number. Give us your declaration. You just got to put your name on it and phone number and share. Yeah, maybe it's the Healthy Hut loves KKCR, or Laura Christine loves Grateful Freddy, or KKCR loves the Kauai Community Radio. Listeners like you and our members appreciate that. We're going to go out with what do I have here? A council report, or Neil Young. I think I'm going to do Neil Young, just like that. Where'd he go? Aha, uh-huh. Just in time. Try it. Oh, yeah. Love to hear rock and roll when I can. We're evolving. Much love.
Yeah, well, he's definitely trying to get a message across. And
what is that message?
The reason I fell in love with rock and roll was because of that thing.
There we go. That thing. Here it is.
That put themselves out there and to call bullshit on what's...
Uh-oh, can't say that on the radio. Maybe we'll do this instead.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of January 25th. There will be a regular council meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, January 27th. The meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here highlights from the agenda. Council will interview Sharon Weber for the Fire Commission and Glendon Ogami Stouffer for the Planning Commission at large. The mayor transmits for council consideration and confirmation mayor appointment of Wally Resenzis Jr. to the Board of Water Supply, and that's a term ending 12/31/2018. Also, Resolution 2016-18. The Office of the County Auditor transmits for council information the comprehensive annual financial report, single audit reports, and management advisory report for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2015. The Director of Finance transmits for council information the schedule of fund balances for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2015. The County Attorney transmits for council information quarterly report on settled claims against the County of Kauai from October 1st, 2015 through December 31st, 2015. Council members Chalk and Hoosier transmit for council consideration a proposed draft bill to amend the county code by adding a new section relating to an assessment cap, which implements an assessment cap for owner-occupied properties and long-term affordable rentals, and would cap any increase or decrease to real property tax assessments in any 1 year to not more than 3%. This is proposed draft bill number 2615 is under bills for the first reading. Council Chair Raposo requests the Office of the County Auditor, the Director of Finance, and representatives from N&K CPAs Incorporated discuss the comprehensive annual financial report, single audit reports, and management advisory report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2015. The Fire Chief requests Council approval to accept a donation from the Kauai Lifeguard Association valued at $35,757 for various items. The Life Choices Kauai Coordinator requests Council approval to receive and spend funding from the State of Hawaii Department of Health, Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division Prevention Branch in the amount of $110,000 a year for a period of 3 years beginning April 2016 for the Substance Abuse Prevention Program Partnership for Success Grant. Under committee reports, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Councilmember Yuka Murrah for the Director of Parks and Recreation to provide a briefing on the Department of Parks and Recreation's maintenance plan. This was received for the record. Also received for the record was a request from Council Chair Kagawa for the county engineer to provide a briefing on the Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery Grant, including but not limited to the scope of each project and the specific plan to close two lanes on Rice Street in Lihue. There are three resolutions on the agenda, all related to confirming reappointments to the commissions and boards. There will be a non-public executive session. Items on the agenda include a briefing by the county attorney on a civil suit and a report on claims. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for a public hearing on Bill 2601 for an ordinance relating to additional dwelling units on other than residentially zoned lots, and Bill 2611 for an ordinance revising the amounts estimated in the bond fund, and this is the Honolulu Baseyard Fuel Tank Project for $40,000. After the public hearing, council will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. To view meetings or meeting archives, visit www.kauai.gov/webcastmeetings. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.